Hey there, Wedding Confessionals listeners. It's Brooke just popping in early to remind you that this is actually part two of our evening with Laura Salvati. So if you haven't listened to part one, definitely hit pause and go back because it's super interesting and very funny. And if you have, well, let's get into some confessionals.
Something borrowed, something blue. Give us all your juicy news. Sensational, irrational. It's Wedding Confessionals.
I think we definitely now know her experience with weddings.
Yeah, yes.
And it's a journey. Are you guys ready to get into confessionals?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So confessionals are sent in by the listeners. They're all anonymous. We get them via email through our Tell Us Your Secret little tab on our website or a voicemail. So Pammy picks out the confessionals. I'm already looking. You gave yourself a long one.
I did.
I'm annoyed because preview ahead, I snuck ahead. And our guest has definitely the shortest one. Rude.
I was being nice.
Rude. You know I like the shortest one. Read it loud is hard. It's hard. Pammy, do you want to read our first confessional?
I do. Okay. Dear Wedding Confessionals, hello and happy return to my favorite podcast. Woohoo!
Yeah!
I wrote in a few years ago before my wedding, and you gave me some great advice / sympathy about my mother-in-law. Now married, I thought I'd write in again with some lighter fare.
We love return customers.
We do. We do. I DIY'd a lot of my wedding. When it came to the cake toppers, I had this vision of my husband and I sitting side by side on the edge of the cake rather than standing in the middle. I successfully molded and painted miniatures of my husband and I out of clay in the seated position. Then I sewed a lovely bridal gown and veil for my mini self. However, I had a very hard time sewing a jacket, shirt, pants, etc. for my clay husband. With the clock ticking, I ultimately abandoned the project and thoughtlessly threw those toppers in my sewing box. I bought something generic from a craft store and called it a day. Come the wedding day, things were chaotic. None of the tuxes fit, and all available family members and venue staff were hemming rapidly. My sewing box had been on site for such an emergency, and one of the wedding coordinators was using it. Flash forward to my reception. I was giving my brother a hug when over his shoulder, I saw my wedding cake for the first time. On top of the cake were the clay figures I had made. The coordinator, after finding the old toppers in my sewing box, had done her best to jam the bent little legs in the middle of the cake. My figure had fallen over, lying on her side, gazing adoringly at my clay husband. My clay husband, who was naked and squatting on the cake. I never had finished his clothes. Our photographers took photos of the cake. Not one of the vendors saw this cake and thought they probably didn't want the groom naked and seeming to take a dump on their cake, right? Calmly, I whispered in my brother's ear to walk over to the cake and casually stick the toppers in his pocket. Meanwhile, I walked over to the sweetheart table. My hopes of preserving my wedding bouquet went out the window as I tore flower heads off one by one and placed them on the cake. No one was the wiser, but my family will always have the story of the photos to remember that some of the best parts of the wedding are the parts that go wrong. From the bemused bride.
That's amazing.
This story made me so laugh so hard when I read it.
Okay, I have a few thoughts. My first thought is the image of you having little images or little figurines of yourself sitting on the edge of the cake, I think is really clever.
That's really cute. Yes.
I understand exactly what you're saying. And I imagine if I had been given those clay objects, I would think to put them on the edge. But maybe it's because I already know from the story. But
right.
Would you have made them squat? Would you have shoved the legs in? What would you have screwed it up?
I think I would have asked. I don't think I would have just no clothes.
The no clothes part is very
kind of gives it away that
right.
Maybe that wasn't ready.
Right, right. Unfinished wedding. And possibly not what the bride had in mind.
Yes, exactly.
I also want to know if she still has these toppers. And then also, I just love the vision of the brother taking the toppers casually. Like, imagine just looking out of nowhere and seeing somebody just taking the toppers off of a cake and then putting them in his pocket, like frosting and all, just like just taking one for the team. I love it.
Yes. Oh, it was a team effort.
Squatting nude on top of your cake. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
What, were you going to say something?
I was going to say something crude because she said that she was leaning on her side, looking up adoringly at her husband. But like, what if she had been face down? That would have been a whole nother like layer to the wedding.
Very true. Y'all ready to move on to number two?
Yes. Are you ready to read?
Okay. Away we go. Number two. Dear wedding confessionals and guest, I'm not engaged yet, but I know that when I am, which I expect to be quite soon, my sister will undoubtedly expect to be my maid of honor. Here's my problem. I'm not close with her, but she thinks that we are still close. Not to get into too many details, but in the past, my sister used to be my best friend until she dumped me for her new relationship. Used me for money and rides when she was broke and carless, manipulated me, and pretty much destroyed all of my trust and admiration for her. Did I mention she's my older sister by 6 years? Yeah, I was only 17 during all of that trauma. To this day, she doesn't understand why I stopped talking to her. I don't think she believed that she did anything wrong. Anyways, I basically have to decide if I'm going to confront her about it, along with my mom, because I would much prefer to have my cousin as my maid of honor. I'd still want my sister in my party, just not in a role with so much responsibility or significance as my maid of honor. My cousin and I are much closer, and it would just make more sense. Otherwise, I will just have to decide to not have a wedding party at all. Part of me is fine with that, but the other part of me will not be happy being unable to include my siblings and close friends. But I'm not sure if I really want my wedding to be the reason why I have to tell my sister why I don't like her as much as she's convinced herself that I do. I don't do well with confrontations or drama at all. Help. Sincerely, she's my sister, not my friend. P.S. I love your podcast so much. Pam and Brooke, you both sound like people I would absolutely enjoy being friends with.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, we are fun.
We have fun.
We have fun. Okay.
Thoughts?
Do any of us have sisters?
No.
Me neither. Brothers?
I have a brother.
Yeah, I have a brother.
You have brothers.
Yeah, okay. So the sister situation is different than brother situation. It is. So we are coming from only brother girls.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and not understanding the sister thing.
Yeah.
To me, it's just like, you're not going to be my maid of honor. Like, not happening. Sorry. I don't know. You can be in my wedding, but like, this is not your role. But I'm very black and white about certain things. Like,
well, you said
it's my wedding, it's not hers. I have opinions, like, and I'm not afraid to say them, tell them. People get hurt, that's their problem, not mine. For the most part, this is her wedding. She gets to decide who she wants in it. And personally, I think it would be ridiculous not to have a wedding party when she really wants one.
Agreed.
Because she's afraid to tell her sister that she can't be the maid of honor. Maybe the sister doesn't even want to be the maid of honor. This is a lot of like projecting happening here. So I say, ask who you want to be in your wedding party. If people have a problem with it, that's on them. And move on.
Pammy?
Mm-hmm. I have thoughts. I have opinions.
That's why we're friends.
My thought is, you know, I agree with what you're saying, is she should not have a wedding party if that's something that she wants. And I do understand the, you know, not wanting to have the drama or the conflict, especially, you know, when there is so much you're dealing with a wedding, you don't want to add that extra layer in there. So my thought is to maybe make her a co-maid of honor and have that conversation with your cousin first of, you know, you're my maid of honor. I'm going to do this to keep the peace. And you know she's not going to do anything anyway. So you're not going to be disappointed by her not being the maid of honor role that you want and expect. But, you know, you will still have that with your cousin who you're choosing. So that would be my advice, is to have co-maids of honor.
Or just everyone's a bridesmaid. There's no maid of honor. No, because you want to push the cousin to be in charge of stuff.
I feel, here's the thing is, I mean, I think it's hard when you do that, because then there still has to be somebody in charge.
Yeah.
And I mean, it could technically work, you know, where the cousin would step up at that point as well.
I think in my mind, this is what I'm doing. I'm thinking what I would do specifically, and I have your brain where I would just be like, this is the truth. This is what's happening. Like, but I, again, I can be a pragmatic person who just like, these are my truths, and this is the confrontation I'm going to have. Not in a mean way, but just like, you know, this is what we're doing and it's fine. And, you know, if you have a problem with it, you can voice it to me. And, you know, it's not coming from a malicious place and blah, blah, blah. And that's just my vibe. She's saying she's not a confrontational person. She doesn't want a confrontation. If that's really, like, when you think about what your goal is, you know what I mean? Like, if your goal is to have no confrontations with your sister, it sounds like there's something that happened with you guys years ago that you haven't really confronted her about. And maybe that's something that we should maybe be doing so that you feel like maybe you can get on the right track with her again. If you feel like she's just off the deep end and this just is who she is. But if you think that making your cousin the maid of honor is going to cause an obscene amount of stress for you, because now if your sister's gonna go off the deep end, you know her personality. Is she the type to make a big deal about it and then she's getting your mom involved and all that stuff? What is worth it to you? What is the more important thing to you, having this cousin in charge who's in charge, or is it not having anything and not having to deal with any of that? It's kind of, in my opinion, you just kind of have to look at the pluses and minuses. Mm-hmm. I'm also wondering, I'm thinking about my inner Amanda Walker, our very cut and dry experience coordinator. What would Amanda do? Mm-hmm. WWAD. Would she say put your sister in?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I agree with Amanda, but that's what Amanda would tell you.
I agree,
be like,
with Amanda.
She would do it like, just put your sister in. It's fine. Just like that, right?
Yep. She knows the drama that's going to come after that.
Yeah.
Is now the time to have that drama? I say no.
But
if
you are a person who you think it's more important to have your cousin, that is the priority. If that's what you, after me telling you, choose what one is priority. If you really do go this route and you want to choose the cousin, I think that you just have to come from every decision from the positive point of view. You cannot tell your sister, the reason why you're not my maid of honor is because you were shitty to me when I was 17. What you need to say is, I chose my cousin because I'm really close with her and I think she would be super helpful. I love you and I think you're also super helpful, which is why I want you to be in my bridal party. It's not that I don't love you any less. It's just that, you know, when I think about this role and who could help me the most, I think it's my cousin. And I think you just stick to the positive. Pam is not liking this at all. Nope. I think you don't have to bring in the negative if you don't want to.
I would call bullshit on that. If she hasn't talked to her and she already knows that there's some sort of conflict.
It's weird if it's somebody you don't talk to make them your maid of honor. I mean, as someone who was a bridesmaid for someone you barely know, you know it's weird.
It's weird. it is weird. It's like.
Yes, but then it comes back to that sister thing. Like, she says that her sister's going to expect it just because she's her sister.
So in the end, wait, so who's saying what? Now, you definitely say choose the cousin, correct, Lauren?
I mean, yeah, I say cousin. Like, do what you want to do. It's your wedding. And if other people can't get on board with that, then like, whatever. But
Pam?
I say make the best of both worlds. Make them co-maid of honors.
Okay. Ooh, ooh.
Yes.
Oh, man. Oh, I don't think your sister should do it. Like, I think either the maid of honor, I mean, sorry, the cousin being the maid of honor or this co thing or nothing. But I think the option of giving it to your sister, someone you don't even talk to at all.
No. Yeah, I agree with that.
Is so weird. So I think of all the options out there that we're giving you, either no bridal party, just bridesmaids, co-maid of honor, or the cousin being the maid of honor, I feel like all of them are better than your sister being it. It doesn't make sense.
No.
Exactly. Even though, again, Amanda, if we had a fourth person on a mic, just put your sister in it.
No, I don't think she would say.
What would she say? See it in Amanda's voice.
I can't.
You can try.
I think she would say, you know, that she needs to be a part of the wedding. But yeah. I don't think that she would say make her the maid of honor, because I think that would just cause our bride more stress.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm in. But yeah, I don't think you should make your sister the maid of honor. That sounds miserable. Also, yeah. if this is, and this, we've talked about this before, that sometimes weddings sort of makes you face and deal with conflict that you've sort of been avoiding. And maybe this is the time to have not a screaming match with her, but, you know, hey, the way I was treated in the past does affect our relationship currently. You know, like, this is what's happening. No, you say don't even bring it up, or no? You're raising an eyebrow.
Oh, man, that gives me away every time.
Yeah, you have no poker face with me. Are you kidding me?
No, I mean, I think in theory that would be amazing for her to have that opportunity to say that. But the fact that she says that she does not like conflict and drama, I think is this is not the time and the place to put that on the plate.
Fair enough. Good luck. Please let us know what happens.
Yes.
Now we have to know. Right?
Definitely.
Yeah. All right. Number three.
Yes.
Oh, and also make sure you enjoy the process. Don't let this sister along the way yuck up this whole thing. Don't let her bring a dark cloud on this really fun time.
Exactly.
So agreed.
Focus on the people that are helpful. Focus on the positive. Focus on the good things. And don't let this sister be, you know, your albatross. Okay, so now we're on to confessional number three. Potentially the shortest one we've ever done.
This might be.
This is short.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I thought it was a good question.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. No. Hi, ladies, including Ruthie. I can't remember if you've talked about this on the pod before, but would you please share your thoughts on holiday weddings? Are there some holidays that it's bad form to book on, or does it not really matter? Which holidays, if any, are okay, or maybe not a great idea? Thanks from Holidazed.
Good question.
This,
controversial question.
Yes.
Definitely.
Okay. Overall, just yes and no. Do you like weddings on holidays?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. By the way, a lot of people say no. You're not alone. Here's the thing. Pam, when did you get married?
Memorial weekend.
When did I get married?
Labor Day weekend.
Right. And it's not... A lot of people do it. It makes it easier for a lot of people.
There's pluses and minuses. Yeah, the plus is that usually means there's an extra travel day, vacation. Most people can get off work if there's travel, or if you're just like dealing with the complications of prepping for a wedding or whatever. Like there is, and then also maybe you can have the wedding on a Sunday because people are traveling the Monday after. So you get a cheaper deal and blah, blah, blah. Like there's very big pluses, but the minuses our people are like, yeah, that's my holiday. I was planning on using it to not be at your damn wedding. Right? Is that what you think, Laura?
Yeah. I mean, I think, so for me, it's really hard to find time for my husband and I to take trips and go places. We have busy jobs that it's just not real easy to like schedule vacation. And even sometimes we schedule vacation and then we both end up working on said vacation. So holidays are days when courts are closed, lots of other attorneys are also not working. It's a little calmer for me, so it's a really good time for us to plan a trip and go somewhere. So when there is then something like a wedding that, yes, of course we really want to be there and we're excited, but it does make it, it's like, ooh, okay, well, that's like our free time and now we're sort of, you know, using that up on a wedding. Not that we don't want to be there, but maybe we want to, like, I don't know, go to Mexico for the weekend or go do something else. So.
Yeah. And I guess the thing is that if you were to choose a holiday wedding, you have to accept that some people might not come because of the holiday or may kind of give you shit for planning it on a holiday.
I think also that there's some holidays that are a little easier to agree to definitely. Than others.
Yes.
You know, I say yes because, like, Labor Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July, those are, I think, all holidays that's a little easier to, you know, to do it. And I don't know, if somebody said they were getting married on Christmas, for me, I would be as okay. But I think, you know, Heather Woodward
and David Kantrowitz got married on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
They've been on the show, and I went to that wedding, and yeah, it was great. It was so fun.
Yeah.
But I could see other people being like, yeah, I have a New Year's Eve tradition, and it's not being at your fucking wedding. It really is. You just have to know that some people are not going to come or be annoyed. You just have to, you have to do what you want, not caring.
Right. It's about you. It's your wedding. It's not anybody else's wedding. I don't know anyone personally that got married on New Year's Eve, but I've sort of heard people talk about good and bad attending New Year's Eve weddings. And yeah, I think, like, Thanksgiving weekend is, like, definitely probably, like, that's, like, no, because people are with their family and you're, like, messing that up. And, like, Christmas, same thing. New Year's, I mean, I don't know. It's not really what I would want to do, but
she might RSVP yes, but maybe not.
Maybe not, man. Maybe not. So we all think hard no on Christmas.
Christmas, Thanksgiving.
Unless your family is primarily Jewish, then it's a great little probably savings.
Yeah. Maybe,
but then it's a lot of times
on how many, like, friends you have that aren't Jewish.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, even Sunday weddings are common, right? With couples that are Jewish, and non-Jewish couples are like, why am I going to a wedding on a Sunday? I have to work on Monday. Like,
yeah.
So,
yeah. Back to you, do you.
Yeah. You do. But know that there is a percentage of people that are going to be like, or not come. And I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, I'm okay with it. Two out of three podcasting people with microphones today say go for it. So that's your percentage. We're going to do another one, guys. We're going to do an extra confessional.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I have a fourth one.
Got it. Let's do it.
It's long, so be prepared.
Okay.
But I think it's a good one. Dear Wedding Confessionals, hey, Brooke, Pam, Ruthie, and guest, Brooke. You may want Pam to read this one.
Ta-da.
I recently found your podcast and have started from the beginning and working on catching up, and wanted to do so before my wedding in mid-November this year. Listening to your podcast has helped me in multiple ways, but mostly to help me realize I am not alone with all this craziness. So thank you, ladies and guests. Okay, to get to the reason I am messaging you all, I am looking for advice on what to do. My dad is a big drinker, to where it is a problem. My concern is that he is giving a speech the day of my wedding, and I'm super nervous he will get drunk beforehand. I have told him multiple times that I don't want him drinking before the speech. I told him one would be fine to help calm his nerves, but I wouldn't like him to have more than that. Side note, he gets super obnoxious when he is drunk, and it is embarrassing, but he thinks he's funny. I have told him not to drink, and he gets quiet and shuts down and does not say anything. I'm still worried he is going to try and get drunk secretly. I was hoping that he would be busy during cocktail hour with pictures, so he would not have the time to drink. But I recently got my timeline for that family photo will be before the ceremony, so family will be able to enjoy cocktail hour. So there went that. People have suggested that I talk to the bartender and ask that they do not serve him a lot beforehand, or that I have him do the speech before the first dances to get him out of the way. I told my dad I have asked my bridal party not to drink beforehand, so he doesn't think I'm calling him out. This was a small line, but I thought maybe it would help. Do I just have trust that he's listening to me and will respect my wishes the day of? Do I talk to my bartender? I don't know what the best thing to do is, and I'm running out of time to make a decision. Also, this is unneeded stress for me, but I don't want to be embarrassed in front of all my guests. From, I may need drinks after all of this myself.
Yikes. I'm glad you picked this one, Pam, because I feel like it's a common theme that comes up about people dealing with some person in their family and drinking too much.
Yep.
So no, you're not alone.
Definitely not alone.
Yeah. Any opening thoughts to anybody?
I do.
Okay.
I mean, I think there's several ways to go about it. I think I like your thinking outside the box with moving the picture timeline, talking to the bartender. I think, you know, moving his speech early. I think you can do a combination of all of that. I don't think it has to be one or, you know, or nothing. also, something to think about. And again, this is your wedding and, you know, you would have to see how this would affect you, but you could make it a dry wedding. You could make it with no alcohol. Because I feel that somebody who is going to drink is going to drink. Like, he's going to find a way, whether you tell the bartender or not, he's going to find a way.
Yeah. He might bring a flask. Yeah. People that like to drink are prepared.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good point. Okay. So a couple things I have. My brain is going somehow kind of logical ways to, like you said, have some sort of roadblock. And the other thing is that you were planning on having pictures during cocktail hour, thinking that would be a way. Can't you just do additional pictures? Aren't you in charge?
Yeah, it's your wedding.
Yeah.
Change the timeline. Say, I want pictures of my family during cocktail hour.
Yeah, I want them at the church after everyone leaves, which always takes forever. Or wherever the venue is that you're doing the actual, like, and I want mom and dad, and I want just the family, blah, blah, blah. You could create a diversion if you wanted to keep him occupied.
Yes.
That is possible.
And then do that speech.
Yes. The other thing is, that's my one brain is trying to find the actual like obstacle to keep him from drinking at least for a bit. The other thing I just want to say is your father being embarrassing is embarrassing for him. It's not about you. No one looks at the situation and thinks, oh my gosh, she's a mess. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. They're just looking at him and being like, he's being, you know, the person out of control.
That's not a
reflection of you. In general, in life moving forward, you cannot take on other people's problems and make them your own identity in that sort of a way. And it sucks because it sounds like this is a thing that you've dealt with before. And this is something that you've been holding on to that pain and you've been holding on to that shame. And it's not your shame.
That's true.
I just feel like I feel so much pain for you. And I hate the anxiety you're having about this thing that has nothing to do with you. I just hope that in all of this, whether he does go and soar and he's wonderful that day and, you know, blah, 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 or if he goes kind of normal, he drank a little too much, or he does something really embarrassing. Either way, it's not you. It's not about you. That's him making his own choices. And I just, you know, I want you to know that, like, don't put that on you.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I don't know that I have much to add. I think that, you know, yeah, it's not you, but it's still hard when it's a family member or a friend or whatever that's doing something that is embarrassing or not what you want them to do. So I think, like Pam and Brooke have both said, to the extent that you can, alter the timeline to make it, you know, less possible for him to drink or to drink too much by the time the speech is going to happen, and move things around. And hopefully that will be enough. Also, hopefully it's, I don't know, your wedding day, and maybe that will spur him into not excessively drinking before the speech. I mean, I don't know, if it was me, I think I would try to have a conversation and just say, like, can you just, like, do me a favor? We're going to have a good time. We're all going to drink. We're going to whatever. But, like, can you just like hold off until after, you know, your speech? I know it's important to you. It's important to me. I don't know. But again, that's also very dependent on the relationship that you have. And, you know, that could cause its own set of problems. So.
Well, I have another thought too.
Yeah.
Is talk to your DJ with the mic. So if you need to cut them off, you cut them off.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point. Also, you could potentially kind of pull in the help of others that, you know, kind of to babysit them a little bit. They know ahead of time, like, hey, you know, dad gets out of hand. Maybe a sibling or someone that's close to him to begin with who's going to maybe be by his side to sort of just like, let's do a water this run or hold off or like, let's get some. Oh, come over here. I want to try this snack. You can kind of, you know, potentially have put it on somebody else's responsibility. Like you have other people babysit kids at weddings. Have somebody babysit your dad for the first hour.
Yeah.
You know? And especially if you get maybe one of his buddies and you're just like, hey, guys, like, you know, like, and sort of make it more of a thing. Like, we're all going to be more like laid back at the cocktail hour. Also, if you're in charge of stuff at the cocktail hour, you also get to decide what's actually served at the cocktail hour.
Right.
Which you could just have everyone gets a glass of champagne and that's it. And everything else is waiting to the reception. You're in charge of everything.
That's true.
You're in charge of everything. Also, I just want to throw out there. And maybe I'm going too deep or whatever or too serious. But, you know, if you feel like you're dealing with a legit father who has a problem with alcohol, like we're dealing with, you're facing the fact that maybe your father could potentially be an alcoholic. I do think that we're not total professionals. We're just gals that love weddings. We're wedding enthusiasts that are trying to give helpful advice. I would say Al-Anon. I'll put a link. But they're a great organization that are around for families and friends of alcoholics. And I think that people that are in that organization, they could give, they've dealt with it.
Better advice than we can.
Yeah. So I'm just throwing it out there. I like that we brought up the topic and I think it's important because it comes up a lot. But I also think if you really need specific advice and you feel like we're kind of like half-assing it because this isn't our specialty, there are people that could probably give you really good tools and can help. And I hope it goes well and let us know.
Yes.
And have a great day. Right?
Good luck to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you guys ready to move on to some bridal breaks?
Yes.
Sounds like this bride could use it, man.
Right.
Bridal break. Well, she said, didn't she say she's the one that needs a drink?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this works out well because bridal breaks are not only for brides, but anyone helping to plan with a wedding of just fun suggestions of things to do that have nothing to do with weddings so you don't lose your mind completely during the process. Pam usually gives us a fun cocktail. So maybe this will be inspiring for our fourth confession writer.
I have a super fun cocktail for today.
Ooh.
And since Laura's husband, Chris, likes margaritas so much, and this we're finally to November, I don't know where October went. But we are here in November, and this is a cranberry apple margarita.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. Silver tequila, apple cider, cranberry juice, orange juice, and then rim the glass with brown sugar.
That sounds really
right.
Good. I want that.
I found this on mysequinedlife.com, and try it out. Let us know what you think.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Definitely.
That sounds wonderful. Laura, what you got?
So I will talk about a show that we just finished watching. It is called Only Murders in the Building on Hulu.
Yes.
And it, you know, is also about a podcast, but a true crime podcast. It's with Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. And it is just smart and funny and well-written. And I was so sad when it ended. I think it's been renewed for a second season.
It
seems
has,
that way.
Yeah.
Okay. We just really like enjoyed watching it every week. It was a great, I don't know, break from more intense shows. Like if anyone's watching American Rust, which is huge downer and very sad. Good, but sad. So yeah, that's my bridal break.
Yeah, because even though it's called about murders, it's very light.
It's very
a comedy.
Light. I mean, it's Martin Short and Steve Martin. Like,
it has to be a comedy.
Right, and you know me. I'm a big scaredy cat. Like, I can't do Walking Dead. I can't do any of the scary stuff. It's not scary.
No.
No, not at all. So, like, I'm a scaredy cat, and even I sat through it and was fine.
It's, like, goofy.
Yeah. And Selena Gomez, can we talk about her speaking voice?
Right?
I only know her from singing. I don't think I've ever heard her talk. Watch it, guys, just to hear Selena's talking voice, which is so much lower than I ever anticipated.
She talks like this. Yeah, she does. Yeah. I saw her on Wizards of Waverly Place, right? When she was like a tween with kids that I used to babysit for. But I don't really remember what her voice sounded like. So I was also very surprised, shocked. They don't match, really. No,
they don't match at all. It's not a bad voice.
No, it's not. Yeah. Not bad at all. She sounds great. It's unexpected. Just not what I would expect her to.
Again, because her singing is so much higher.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go watch Selena Gomez and Holy Murders this. In the Building.
Yes.
And it's all, the first season's completely done, so you can binge it.
Sweet.
Because we were watching, if you're watching, you had to wait every week to get a new episode. Right. Like old school. And it's painful. Ah. It's so suspenseful. You want to know what happens.
But also nice, because then you have something to look forward to.
Yeah, true. It's true. Yeah, I know. But yeah, you can binge. If you're a binger, you'd like that. Mine also is bingeable. I think that I believe it's 3 seasons, maybe 2. No, I think 3. There's a show on Hulu. Yours is on Hulu as well. Mine was originally on NBC, but now it's only on Hulu because it wrapped up for the season. But it's called Making It, and it's a reality competition show. Pam's nodding your head. You've seen this? It's so cute, right?
It is.
It's a reality television competition show, kind of in the vein of Bake Off, where like it's competitive. There is money involved, but they barely talk about the money. Like there's a prize,
right?
But it's very sweet. Everyone's helping each other, but it's amateur craft makers, and they have little challenge where they make, I mean, door front decorations. They make nothing to do with food, just like woodworking, knitting, googly eyes on stuff. It's hosted and executive produced by Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman, which were co-stars on Parks and Recreation. So it's Juan Swanson and the lead from Parks and Recreation. And it's so cute, which is actually really interesting because Amy is very open about loving watching other people craft, but she has no skills of her own. She's just like a fan. Whereas Nick Offerman is like a established and well-known woodworker and like makes his own canoes. Like he's really impressive. So you do get to see like his input of actually having knowledge. And they do like little silly, sweet little bits throughout the whole thing with their improv background. It is so heartwarming and sweet. And like I said, I think it's like 3 seasons out.
Yeah, I think so.
It's either 2 or 3. Yeah. But again, every episode is so cute.
It's fun.
I highly recommend it. I also, like Amy Poehler, cannot craft for shit. So I'm just there. And again, my husband is a crafty person. So we are the Nick Offerman, Amy Poehler audience members of watching that show. Yeah. So yeah, but it's on Hulu and I highly recommend it, guys. And that's it.
That's it.
Laura, you did it.
I did.
Congrats. Your first time being on a podcast. Yeah. You're a pro.
It was awesome. I know. Yeah. I had a great time.
You got a second career. You just don't know it.
Okay.
Podcast guest.
Yeah.
Mammy, we reached that time of the evening where I get to go over my quiz. You ready?
It's your been a favorite couple part.
Weeks. It's my favorite part. I don't know if you like it, but
it
I enjoy
is not my favorite
you.
Part. I know.
Let's get into it, girlfriend. Pamela, what is our website address?
WeddingConfessionals.com.
Yes. From there, you can link to all of our social media handles. Name 3 places you can find us on social media.
You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Fun fact, without talking to Pam about it, I signed us up for TikTok. We have one TikTok. Just the one.
Just one.
We're dipping our toe into TikTok. We're seeing what it's like. It's a wild world. But it's kind of fun and silly. And we'll see what we can do, guys. No promises. There's definitely not going to be dances.
Well.
Oh, Pam is a good dancer.
Maybe we can throw some dances.
You know what?
In
maybe
there.
We can be convinced.
You never know.
We never know. We don't know what's around the corner with us for TikTok. But there is officially at this point, as of this recording, one whole TikTok by Wedding Confessionals. So if you want to follow us on TikTok, it's the same, at Wedding Confessionals. So now we're on there.
Perfect.
We also have a very active Pinterest account. We don't. We have Pinterest, but we haven't touched it in years. But we're there.
Yeah,
we're
Isn't
there.
That all of us, though?
I know. I don't. I've always been overwhelmed by Pinterest.
I love Pinterest.
Again, because I'm not a crafter.
I Guys, love crafting. I just figured it out. Yep. But I don't know. I'm just not.
I use it for inspiration.
Yeah. I just save things on my Instagram account.
Yeah.
instead of Pinterest.
Yeah, I can't have like too many things that I need to be like logging into and saving things to. But sure. I like the concept of it.
I used to like cut out magazines. So this is Pinterest is right up my alley.
Oh, yeah. That's digital Pinterest. Nerd. I like it. Yep. I like it. also on our website, you can find links to all of our show notes. So all the things we say, oh, I'll put it in the notes. That's where you can find it. Also, it's a great place for you to send us your stories. There are three ways that you can send us your confessionals. They're always anonymous. We'll never say your name. We love when you put goofy names at the end. Be creative about it. We love it. There are three ways to share your confessionals with us. One is the website. Where do you go from there?
You hit the little tab that says, tell us your secret.
Tell us your secret. You can also send us an email. The email address is?
WeddingConfessionals@gmail.com.
You can also leave us a voicemail. Pammy, what's our phone number?
433-434-933-2663.
434-933-2663. You'll get it one day.
Maybe.
It's coming back. You got the two numbers. That's something. 20%. Make sure that you give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts specifically.
Please.
I mean, obviously we can give ratings other places. That's cool. But specifically Apple Podcasts, if you do that, it helps us move up in the ranking so that more people can find us. Their algorithm is very persnickety and very... very pushing on the rates.
On the rates, yes. Yeah. So the more you like us, the more we get to help other people.
Yeah. Think about all those other brides and grooms dealing with shit. Help them out. also, besides Apple Podcasts, Pam, I'm deciding to switch it up.
Okay.
We're going to start doing it alphabetically.
What?
Just that way we can learn and we can memorize again because I gave you too many. It's my fault. We're on a lot of platforms now.
A lot.
We are on 3 that start with the letter A. I just want you to try to find those 3 and then I will read the rest.
Oh my Lord.
3. You already know 1 because you already said it.
Apple Podcasts.
Okay. The other one is really known for shipping things out in a 2-day period.
Amazon.
Amazon Music, correct.
And Audible.
Yes. Bam.
Ding, ding, ding.
Boom. Other places you can find us. CastBox, Castro, Deezer, Downcast, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, Overcast, Listen Notes, Player FM, Pocket Cast, Podbean, Pod Paradise, Pod Tail, Pod Addict, Podcast Land, Podcast Republic, Radio Public, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, and you can find us on Alexa and Siri.
Yeah.
I'm dry throat now.
You expect me to memorize that?
And I'm out of water. This is the worst. We got to end this podcast. Laura, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And it's wow, just... what a journey.
Yes.
Proud of you for getting through that, girl.
We made it through.
We did.
And Pammy, I will see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Special thanks to Andy Schreier for our adorable theme song.
And David Kantrowitz for our fantastic logo.
And Ramsey Millett and Brian Maylard for their technical support.
If you want to learn more about our show, where you gotta go, Pam?
Check out our website, weddingconfessionals.com.
That's it, girl. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.